Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier Pearson. This is City Views. Calling the art of Karl Brest van Kempen detailed is an understatement. It takes him about an hour and a half to paint a single square inch, and you half expect his meticulous portraits of birds and reptiles and insects to wriggle or fly off the canvas. Today on the program, Brest van Kempen is joining us to talk about his art and his connection to wildlife. And Karl, great to have you here. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's great to be here.
Karl Brest van Kempen is an artist, a naturalist, and author whose work has been exhibited worldwide in such venues as the Smithsonian, the American Museum of Natural History, the British Museum, and others. He was named one of 100 most honored artists of Utah and one of 14 master signature members of the Society of Animal Artists, which awarded him their highest honor, the Award of Excellence, 7 times. He's illustrated over a dozen books, and he's joining me in studio to talk about his work. And you can join our conversation if you've got a question or comment for Karl Brest van Kempen about nature in his art. You can join us. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Karl, why wildlife? What got you started?
Well, it's always been a fascination for me. I guess most people start out drawing animals. I think all kids draw animals. I just never stopped, kept going down that road. And that's always been my big fascination. I'm a lot more fascinated by ecology and zoology than I am by painting.
Did you study biology in college or in art school?
Yeah, I never went to art school, but I studied biology. I never graduated, but I did give it a shot.
You have painted so many creatures that roam this planet. Where do you get your inspiration?
Well, I get it from nature, from seeing nature and from thinking about it a lot. I try to... if you look at the genre of wildlife painting in general, it's not very diverse. There are about 15 species of animal that you see painted over and over and over, and I'm trying to do my little part to make it a little more diverse and paint the stuff that hasn't been done to death. So I paint a lot of salamanders and rodents and this kind of stuff. That I don't do a lot of mountain lions and bald eagles.
Looking through your work, there are creatures that I've never even heard of, and I'm wondering how many of the animals that you show in your work have you actually seen in real life?
Most of them. I try to go out into the go somewhere usually in the tropics once a year. And then spent a lot of time in this area in Utah, tromping around the rest of the year. So I try to observe as much stuff as I can. Well, most of the situations that I see are not ones that I've necessarily, that I paint, aren't necessarily ones that I've seen. They're ones that I would like to see, and that's kind of why I paint as a means of seeing something that I'd like to see that I couldn't see any other way.
So that's where the imagination sort of kicks in.
Yeah, that's right.
We see in your work such detail. Have you always been that detailed? Has your work changed over time in any way?
Well, it's gotten more detailed, but I've always really been attracted to the old early Dutch masters and stuff that were really, really fussy. I've always just loved that kind of stuff. And always strive to paint that way. There's a guy named Karl Brenders, a Belgian artist who's a magician. He paints. He can paint the textures of nature with incredible detail and with a kind of richness that I don't think anyone else has ever captured. His stuff is just amazing. When I first saw it, his work, it was so exciting to me. I thought, wow, it's possible to do this. And I'm still not at his level, but I hope someday to be able to paint like him. That's really the bar that I'm reaching for.
Mm. Do you work simply off the memory that the animals that you've seen in the wild, or do you take photographs and then work off of those, or use your old text biology book or what?
I use as much reference material as I can. I usually start out with an idea in my head, with a concept, and do a lot of sketches. And I wind up with a pretty finished drawing of the composition that's done without reference. And then when I get to that point, then I draw in as many reference materials as I can to correct all the mistakes that I've made. And so when I'm working on a painting, I'll usually I've got a huge table that I work on, and that's usually just littered with books, photographs, study skins, rocks, sticks, leaves, all, you know, it's usually a real mess. And I use a lot of published photographs and stuff out of books because I'm not copying them. I'm basically just using them for the information in the images.
Hmm. Carl Brest van Kempen is with us. He's an artist, a naturalist, and author. You can see some of his work through links on our website, kcpw.org. We've also got a link to a profile of Brest van Kempen on our partner, Explore Utah Science. Again, just go to kcpw.org for those links. And if you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. So you have all of these little artifacts in your studio, examining the rocks and the plants that you're going to be depicting. Also thinking about this animal. How long does it take from conception to a finished product in your work?
It takes a month or two to do a major piece. I produce about 10 or 12 paintings a year.
That's pretty fast, though.
You're
devoting a lot of time to it.
I'm devoting a lot of time to it. It'd be nice to be able to produce more work than I do, but in order to get the finished effect that I get, you just have to take that kind of time.
I want to refer to one piece, Green Iguana and Leafcutter Ants. There's maybe describe for our radio audience a little bit about what you were trying to do with this particular picture.
Well, it's a little bit of a joke. It's supposed to be sort of an amusing piece. And in the New World tropics, there's a group of ants called leafcutter ants that live on a fungus. They feed on a fungus that grows that's only found in their colonies, and this fungus grows on pieces of leaves that they collect, and so they have workers who spend all of their time sawing off little pieces of leaves and bringing them back to the colony underground. And so when you're hiking around in the forests of tropical America, you always see these big parades of leafcutter ants with little dime-sized pieces of leaves sort of wobbling back and forth like little green butterflies across the forest floor. And this is a painting of a big green iguana sitting on the forest floor with a parade of leafcutter ants with leaves.
They're marching over its head.
Marching over its head, yeah.
I mean, there's such a playfulness to it. You're not afraid of a little sense of humor there?
No, a sense of humor is a good thing.
What about, let's talk about another piece, Reticulated Python and Mast Finfoot. It's of this very large snake that's poised with its mouth open over what appears to be a small mammal. I don't know what a finfoot is, but you're capturing something right in the moment. It looks like the snake is about to strike. And I guess a lot of your work deals with motion and the action that you see in the natural world.
Yeah, I really try to, I'm pretty fascinated with trying to, with the static medium of painting, trying to give the illusion of motion and using composition to try to do that. And that's what I did with that piece. That piece, originally, the idea was to use a blood python. My original drawing was with a different kind of python, which is a reddish color, and I basically just wanted to play with the reflections of that red in the water. Mm. But I talked to some Southeast Asian python experts, and they said, well, that's not really typical of blood python behavior. That'd be more like a reticulated python. So I redrew the snake, and it wound up being a very golden piece instead of a really red piece.
It's a beautiful piece.
Oh, thanks.
When you're talking to people and doing your research, what do they think of an artist who is going into such detail in these animals?
Well, most of the people, you know, like the python researchers that I talked to about that, I mean, that's really where most of my fan base is with people that are as fascinated with that stuff as I am, and that like to see somebody finally painting the stuff that they're interested in.
Do you have a favorite piece that you've created over the years?
Well, I guess what you're supposed to say is the one I'm working on now. I have a few pieces that I think I don't have. There isn't one, but there's probably 10 of them that I think are the best, the most successful pieces I've done. I am actually really excited about the piece I'm working on.
What
right
is
now.
It? Tell us.
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh.
It's a chameleon piece, but it's another humorous piece and a really difficult piece. I'm not sure if it's going to work or not. It's going to take a long time, and it might be a complete flop, which is exciting. It's been a long time since I've worked without a net like this, and that's nice to really be challenging myself. So you may never hear about this painting again. I may not show it to anybody.
Oh, I'm sure we'll see it. You've talked a lot about reptiles and furry creatures. What's the hardest thing to paint? You've done insects, you've done fish. I mean, what fins, fur?
It's hard for me to paint soft things. I don't have any trouble painting rocks, and the different artists have their techniques are good for different things. I have a friend who's a brilliant artist in Vermont, and she paints. She's very good at painting very soft things. She's the opposite of me, and I wish I could. My rocks look harder than hers, but I wish I could paint soft things. Soft feathers, soft fur. Carl Brenders is, you know, he's got a technique similar to mine, but his fur, he can paint fur that just, or you know, dandelion seeds that just make it look like they could just blow away with a puff of breeze.
Hmm.
And that's the most difficult thing for me to do.
You've been doing this for many years. Have you ever painted anything besides wildlife?
Yeah.
Got about 30 seconds left.
Pretty much everything. I went through a period in my teens and early 20s where I tried to be Salvador Dali. But even that stuff, there was a lot of nature imagery in all of those paintings. So I've never really strayed too far from that fascination.
You found your niche. Carl Bres van Kempen, an artist, a naturalist, and author, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
City Views is a production of KCPW in Salt Lake City. Again, you can see Bres van Kempen's work online through links at kcpw.org. Also, check out a profile of Carl on our partner, Explore Utah Science. City Views, a production of KCPW in Salt Lake City. Our technical director is Jesse Ellis. On tomorrow's show, a conversation with Daryl Burton, who was imprisoned for 24 years for a crime he didn't commit. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.